morning. If you have some time after church, go get yourself an iced coffee and then just go check out the children's ministry building. You won't believe what they did over there over the last week. It literally is like walking into a cave. The folks at Disneyland would be proud from what our folks did. And I just got to say, I appreciate so much the effort and time that has gone in. Makes you want to be a kid this week. And so if you got some time, come over and check it out this week during the mornings. You'll be blown away by the whole event. This morning, we're going to take a break from the book of Acts, and I'm going to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, page 1204. If you're looking in a Bible under the seat in front of you. Lord, it's so wonderful that we can call you Father. In fact, those of us who know you were commanded to call you Father, Heavenly Father. Thank you for your great love, your grace, your mercy. How gentle you are with your children. Pray, Father, that you'd bless this time now in your word. Encourage us in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I want to look at a parable that's perhaps the best known, the best loved that Jesus ever told. Charles Dickens and Ralph Waldo Emerson both called what we're about to read this morning the best short story ever written. And of course, we're referring to a story that we know as the parable of the prodigal son. And it is the story of a rebellious son who makes foolish decisions and suffers great consequences. But it's also the story of an amazing dad. And so in honor of Father's Day this morning, I'm changing it from the parable of the prodigal son to the parable of the amazing dad. Notice how amazing this guy is in this story. Let's begin reading. Look at verse 11. It says, then he, that's Jesus, he's telling the story, then he, Jesus, said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Now, the younger son in this story would be your worst nightmare as a parent. This kid was clueless, self-centered, cold-hearted, thankless, rebellious. Your worst nightmare as a parent. In those days when a dad died or got to a point where he could no longer manage his business, his estate would be divided up among his sons. The firstborn son would get a double portion, and then the remaining sons would get all that's left equally. So in this case, this guy had two sons. When he died, his estate would be divided up into three portions. The firstborn son would get two. And then this younger son would get one portion, a sizable inheritance. But that was supposed to happen when the guy died or couldn't manage his business. Well, here the younger son says, Dad, I want my portion now. Give it to me now. And this was a disrespectful request. It was unheard of for kids to ask this of their dad. Insulting It was almost as if he was saying, "Dad, why don't you die already? So I can get this portion. Dad, I want you dead. You're no good to me while you still live." Just an insult. Now, a typical response to that level of rebellion would have been a public slap in the face from Dad. Public scorn. Most dads would have actually literally organized a funeral service, declaring their son to be dead to the family. But this dad said, "All right, here's your portion. One third of the man's livelihood, all of that work, one third. Here you go, son." Not many days later, the kid takes it all and completely wastes it on what it says in verse 13, prodigal living. Prodigal means wasteful, self-centered. It is the pouring out of resources for a self-indulgent lifestyle. He probably went out and bought a new sports camel. Got himself some bling. Threw elaborate parties, went to all the nightclubs and covered everybody's drinks, had this great entourage of people, went to the brothels, hired prostitutes, wasted all of it, every single bit of it gone. What causes a kid to do something like that? I don't know. But I do know this. I know of many Christian parents, many broken-hearted Christian parents who agonize over wayward kids. I think kids that grow up in a Christian home are targets of the devil in a specific way. And kids lose their way. They lose their sense. They get involved with the wrong crowd. They think they know more than mom and dad. They forget all of the love and resources that's been poured out upon them. Christian child, listen. Don't do this to your parents. Spare your parents hurt like that. And by the way, spare yourself a whole lot of hurt, because this kind of living brings disaster. Look what happens to this kid. Verse 14. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. And no one gave him anything. Folks, there are always consequences to sin. You will always reap what you sow. And this kid is reaping devastating consequences. You know, he probably thought he was going to go have some fun. He's going to go into another country, hang out, and just blow through all of his money. I'm going to have a blast. And then after I blow through it, I'll go find a job, I'll get some work, and I'll rebuild it again. And having no idea, of course, that a famine was about to come, that the economy was about to collapse, that there would be no jobs. So he blows through all the money, doesn't save anything. Then the economy collapses and he can't find a job. The only thing he can find is feeding pigs. Now think about how disgusting that would be as a good kosher Jewish boy. working with swine. And he's so destitute, he's so hungry, he's tempted to fill his own belly with the pig pods. Devastating consequences. And look what it says at the end of verse 16. It says, no one gave him anything. He was utterly alone. Completely deserted. All the party buddies, nowhere to be found. All the party buddies that gladly drank all the drinks that he paid for, disappeared. Listen carefully to me, young person. In this world, when you hang out with the wrong crowd will use you and then desert you. The wrong crowd will chew you up and spit you out. Here's a kid that's absolutely devastated now, completely alone, blew everything. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 6, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. One Christian author said, if you cheat in practice, you'll cheat in the game. If you cheat in your head, you'll cheat on the test. You'll cheat on the girl. You'll cheat in business. You'll cheat on your mate. Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. It's the law of sowing and reaping. Here's a kid at the end. Verse 17. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise, go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So picture this. Here he is in the pig slop. And he finally begins to think. He thinks of what he had it like back home. How good dad was. How safe home was. All the blessing of home. He thinks of how good the hired servants had it back home. You see, his dad was wealthy, generous, kind-hearted. A tremendous blessing even to the hired servants. He thinks back and he says, yeah, they had plenty to eat with more to spare. Here I am working for this guy, and I want to eat the pig's pot. I'm going to get up, and I'm going to go back home. And I'm going to tell Dad, I've totally blown it. I've sinned against you. I'm just going to humble myself. And I'm going to say, look, Dad, I'm not worthy to be called your son. You should have had a funeral service for me. I should absolutely be dead to you. But just take me back as a hired servant. Take me back as a hired servant. Verse 20, and he arose, came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. You know he rehearsed that speech all the way home, right? But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his hands and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. The completely unexpected turn of events. A normal dad would have said, look what the cat drug home, right? What are you doing back here? Seriously, a normal dad in that society would say, get lost. You are dead to me. You made your bed, sleep in it. At the very least, a normal dad in that day would say, okay, I'll let you back, but, you know, hey, you need to go through some public scorn. You need to earn your privileges back. This dad gave the returning son a royal welcome home. When it says he saw his son and he ran out, the Greek language indicates this is a full sprint. Can you see this guy running like crazy? Gets to his son, lavishes him with hugs, kisses. It was important that he would have met his son outside the city so that everybody in the city could see him walking back with dad. That's dad protecting the returning son from public scorn. He's with me now. Got the best robe. Put it on him. Rings. Sandals. Killed the fatted calf. Had a huge party. My son is back. Completely undeserved. Can you imagine how the kid reacted to that? It would have changed his life forever, and it did. Well, the older son isn't happy about this. Look what it says in verse 25. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. This guy's mad. What do you mean they're having a party for my younger brother? Upset, bitter. So here's another son with his whole set of issues. You know, parent, if you have multiple kids, right? Multiple personalities, multiple problems, lots of different things that you're going to be asked to deal with. So he's angry, would not go into the party. Verse 28, therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. Dad on the run again. Running out of the house. Time to deal with another child. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me your young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who's devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. Now you can almost understand why he might feel that way, right? But in the heat of the moment, this older son has forgotten how good dad has always been to him. There's no doubt he had parties. There's no doubt he could have had a party anytime he wanted. Verse 31, and he said to him, son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead, and he's alive again. Your brother was lost, and now he's found. Dad says, son, I love you. I love you. You don't just have the double portion. Everything that I have is yours. Always has been, always will be. I love you. I care for you. Now listen, son, let's get out of our own worlds and let's get into the world for just a moment of your younger brother. He was in lots and lots of trouble. He was dead. Now he's alive. He's back. He's safe. Rejoice. It's proper for us to make merry. Teaching the older son grace. The importance of grace. What a wise dad. What an amazing father, don't you think? Dads, this is the bar. Christian dad, this is how we need to be with our kids. And I want to encourage you to be that way. I want you to notice several characteristics about the dad in this story. Number one, please notice that he was a responsible provider. He was a dad who provided for his family, didn't he? I mean, you look from this story and you can see this guy was a hard working man. He has built a business. He's become wealthy. And he is adequately able to take care of his household, his wife, his kids, even his employees. Extremely generous, extremely hardworking, extremely responsible. That's a good dad. That's a good dad. The Bible says that as men, our primary role in the family is to be the provider. Now, I know that doesn't sound all politically correct and all, but according to the scripture, the responsibility of provision for the household rests squarely upon the shoulders of dad, of the husband. And we are to be good providers for our family. And on Father's Day, for those guys out there that are working so hard to take care of your family in a lot of ways that nobody even recognizes, we salute you. We salute you. Amen. That work means something. That's holy work. Keep it up. Keep sacrificing. Keep trying to make a better life for your kids. You say, well, maybe I'm not all that wealthy and I can't provide like maybe other dads. Listen, provide everything that you can. It's not like you have to give kids everything, right? You teach them. But sacrifice for them. Augustine, the famous church father in church history, said this about his dad. No one had anything but praise for my father, who despite his slender resources, was ready to provide his son with all that was needed to enable him to travel so far for the purpose of study. Many of our townspeople, far richer than my dad, went to no such trouble for their children's sake. Work hard for them. Sacrifice, that means something. And kiddos, appreciate what your dad does. Amen? All the dads say, amen. Appreciate it. It's been said that a father is a person who carries pictures where his money used to be. Dads, now understand this. That's not your only role. See, now a lot of dads fall into the trap of thinking that that's their only role, provider. Be very careful. Be balanced in your life. Don't sacrifice quality time with your family because you're always out working, the big workaholic, thinking, I got to provide and get more and more and more and more. Listen, your family needs you way more than it needs what you can provide for them. Balance that out. This dad was a good provider. Secondly, he was courageous in the way he treated his kids. Notice that this guy gave his kids freedom to choose. Freedom to fail. This dad had to know that the younger son was up to no good, right? He knew that this was going to end in a train wreck. He probably voiced his concern, gave warning, but eventually he said, all right, here's your portion. Go. Dads, and I would say moms, parents, listen, we have to be courageous with our kids. We have to give our kids the opportunity to make decisions. We have to give our kids freedom to fail. Now, I know as parents, we want to protect our kids. We want to help them avoid the mistakes that we made in life. But sometimes you have to exercise tough love and just let that go. Release them to the consequences of their own decisions. Because you grow up a whole lot when you face consequences to your own decisions. Give freedom. Now, I'm not talking about giving your toddler freedom to find out whether or not the red-orange burner on the stove is hot. Or letting kids do whatever they want. Listen, if you have a child under your care in your house, they must earn freedom, and you can take freedom away. But I'm talking about when you have a child that gets of age. Let them live. Let them choose. As hard as that might be, when you start seeing them make foolish decisions. Listen, the biggest lessons in life can be learned through failure. This dad was very courageous. All right, here you go. Third, this dad was hopeful. This dad never gave up on his son. Look at verse 20. Look at this little detail. He arose and he came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him. Now, what does that mean? That means that dad had been out looking at the horizon, and he saw his son returning before he got to town. And the implication here is that dad did this regularly, weekly, perhaps daily. Perhaps daily, dad got up, went out to his quiet place, looking on the horizon, looking for that boy to return home. And no doubt praying, asking God, Lord, protect that guy. Watch over that guy. Bring him back to you. Bring him back home. He never gave up. And this dad was always ready and willing to receive that boy back home. Don't ever give up. Parent, listen, don't ever give up. Keep praying for that son. Keep praying for that daughter. Be ready to receive them. Notice he was also compassionate, verse 20. When he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had what? Compassion. He was a compassionate dad. Greek word is splagmitzomai. Comes from a word splankna. You know what it means? Guts. The bowels of a person. The Greeks spoke of that place as the seat of your deepest feelings, the seat of your emotions, where you hurt. So to be compassionate is to be hurting for the condition of somebody else way deep down in your gut. This man was moved with deepest emotion in his gut. He saw his son. He gets to his son, and there he is, probably dressed like this homeless guy. Just an utter mess. He's looking at his son. He's made an utter wreck of everything. And he's just filled with compassion. Hugs him. Kisses him. Says, I'm going to help you. I'll be here. I'm going to help you. You know, in those days, compassion and gentleness and tenderness and meekness was seen as weakness. Did you know that?
Guys weren't supposed to be compassionate. That would display weakness. And if you're compassionate to your child, you're teaching your child weakness.
You know, a lot of dads are like that today. A lot of dads are more like Marine drill sergeants than they are dads. Disciplinary. Dictatorship. Zero affection. That's not a Christian dad. Sure, should we discipline? Absolutely. But your greatest strength with your kids will be compassion. Compassion. Love that's shown. This guy's also a gracious father. I mean, he gives this son what he doesn't deserve. In fact, justice is getting what you deserve. What did this kid deserve? Get lost, right? That's justice. Justice is getting what you deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. So in the very least, this guy, if he was a good dad, he could have said, all right, well, you deserve not to be a part of this family, but I'll let you into the family, and you have to work your way back up. You're a hired servant. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. That's what this dad did. This kid didn't deserve any of that. Instead, dad showered him with blessings. He was a gracious dad. He was a man of grace. He showed grace to his younger son. And then he went to his older son and said, you need to show grace too. Teaching grace. Very important, because grace changes people forever. You understand that? God's a God of grace. Just lavishes us with blessings that we in no way, shape, or form deserve. When I was eight or nine, I forget, I did something bad. Can you believe I did something bad? Yep, I did something bad. Forget what it was, or maybe I remember and just don't want to tell you. But I did something bad, and it was so bad that Mom used those words, wait till your dad gets home. You go to your room and you wait till your dad gets home. And the hardest part about that is waiting for dad to get home, right? You're waiting all along. Well, my dad got home, and I heard Mom and Dad talking, and then I heard, here he comes, opens the door. Dad says, come with me. So we walked out. We walked down the stairs, walked out. He took me across the street, took me to Circle K, or one of those convenience stores, I forget what. Gave me a Slurpee, all the candy I could possibly want. I am freaking out.
When's he going to lower the boom, right?
Well, we get home and my dad sat down with me and he said, I want to have a discussion with you about grace. What I've just shown you is an illustration of grace. You didn't deserve this. What you did was really, really bad and wrong. Grace is getting what you don't deserve, and that's how God treats us. Never forgot that. Loved my dad more after that day. Because you see, that's what grace does in a person's life. When you understand it, when you get it, then you're blown away with what God has done in your life. And that's when you want to serve him. He was a dad of grace. He was also an impartial dad. He didn't show favoritism. He treated both sons equally. Would the situations have been reversed, he would have behaved the exact same way. Both sons always had access to everything. Two times dad ran. First time to receive a son who's returning home, and the second time to run outside and quell the anger of another son. What a great dad. The responsible provider, having the courage to give kids freedom to make their own decisions. Hopeful, never giving up. Compassionate, gracious, impartial. Here's the story. Here's the definition of a Christian dad. Dad, let's be like this. I encourage you. Be like this. And there's a big word when it comes to parenting that we all need to find as dad, and that word is balance. Finding that balance. You know, are we working too much and not spending enough time with the family, or are we spending too much time with the family and not working enough? Where do I fit? How do I get the balance? Dad, you feel that? Am I being too hard on this kid? Do I need to be more lenient? Am I giving too much grace? And of course, all of those issues change with kid and with situation. You know, being a dad requires supernatural wisdom, doesn't it? Finding that balance. So I just want you to know, if you're trying to be a dad in your own strength here this morning, you're not going to do so well. You need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life to help you be the best dad that you possibly can be. Understand something else about this story. The dad in this story is a perfect picture of God. Do you know God's just like the dad in this story? God is wealthy. He owns everything. He has everything. His is the best home. He wants us to be safe and sound at home. He's compassionate. He's gracious. He's kind. He's impartial. He's hopeful. He loves us. He loves us, in fact, so much that he gave his son to be crucified on a cross for the sins of the world. Imagine a dad giving his son so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we could become born again, so that we could become children of God. God has done all of that because he loves us and he wants us to come into his family, and he'll be dad. He'll be dad. Not just in this life, but for all of eternity. He also gives us the freedom to choose. God the Father says, you know, I'd like to bless you. I'd like to save your life. But you're free. Make your choice. Choose God this morning. Let him be your Father. Perhaps there are Christians here this morning and you've known the Lord for a long time, but you're living the life of this prodigal right here in this story. You're out there in the world blowing it. I would invite you to come home. Come to your senses. Come home to your Father. Maybe you're one of those wayward sons or daughters and you've caused your parents so much hurt and pain. Listen, come back to the Lord. Get right with him and then go get right with mom and dad. What a Father's Day that would be. What an amazing thing that would be. Maybe you're a dad and you've gone the way of the prodigal. Come home. Rededicate your life to God. And let him help you to become the father and husband that you need to be. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Lord, I pray for these men. I pray for my brothers. And I pray right along with them because I'm in the same boat. Lord, give us wisdom to find that balance in being a dad. Lord, give us wisdom and balance, Lord, to be the right man that you've called us to be, dad or not dad. Bless these guys. Strengthen them. Lift them up. If you're here this morning and you are the prodigal son and you know it, you're right there in that story. Or you're the prodigal daughter. I want to invite you to come back to God today. Come back to God today. You say, well, I feel so ashamed. I've been so bad. I promise you, you take one step home and God will run you down. He'll sprint to you. He'll restore you. And so I ask you, if that's you, why don't you pray this prayer with me right now and mean it? Just say, Heavenly Father, I want to come back to you today. I want to return home. You're a good father. Forgive me for the way I have rebelled. Forgive me for the way I have forgotten how good you've been to me. I'm coming home right now. Receive me back. And Father, as we come back to you, I pray that you would heal relationships. I pray that you would heal father-son relationships, father-daughter relationships, parent-child relationships, marriages, Father, friendships. Lord. Lord, I pray for those who are struggling with wayward children, Father, that you would make them stubborn. Lord, that as parents we would never, ever give up. We keep praying. And then again, Lord, we thank you for being our Heavenly Father. You're the best. You're the best. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.